Can you believe that it's already Thanksgiving? My goodness, next week we're all going to gain 5 pounds, aren't we? You know, I'm normally, of course, in the book of Corinthians. I will be back and finishing the series that I'm doing next Sunday, the Lord willing. But on this Thanksgiving 2018, you know, it's hard to believe that it's 33 days, what is it, right, till Christmas? And then 40 days until this year turns into 2019. I mean, it seems to me that the years, they go by faster and faster as you get when you're as young as I am, you'll understand. And the word for 2018, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, talking about the faithfulness of Almighty God, how he has stood with us, stood with you, and how he is always the faithful God. Amen. That word, which will never come to an end, that specific word to this specific body in 40 days will come to an end, and the Lord willing, we'll have a brand new word for 2019. Now, with all that being said this morning, I want to talk to you from two different areas of the Bible. I want you to be in Romans chapter 5, and I also want you to be in Philippians chapter 2 for this Thanksgiving Day message. And what I want to talk to you this morning is about what you, the believer, what you bring to the table. Say that with me, what you bring to the table. You are going to bring something to the table on Thanksgiving, amen? So I want to talk to you about that. Remember Israel, the children of Israel. There they were. They had sinned against God and so forth. And the first generation died out in the wilderness. And the second generation, God was raising up by Joshua, of course, to take into the promised land to enjoy all that God had given them. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, and I'll be in Romans 5 in about 15 minutes, okay? So bear with me. It says in Deuteronomy 8:10, God says, when you've eaten and you're full, then you shall give thanks or you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he is going to give you or has given you. And then God gives a warning. He says, now beware. He says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and you've built those beautiful houses and you live in them, and all that you have is multiplied, and when your heart is lifted up, here it comes, you forget. You forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who brought you out of the land of bondage. It is a terrible thing for us to be so full and so content watching the goodly homes and the nice homes that we live in and all the rest of it, and then forget God who gave them all to us. You know, Thanksgiving is a time that when we truly give thanks to God for all of his incredible blessings that he has blessed this nation and blessed the church with. Amen? The Bible tells us that we have been blessed. It said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing or blessings in the heavenlies. Listen, everything that we have, we appropriate by faith. It's all been given to us right now. We just have to believe God. Amen? So on this Thanksgiving, it's very important that we remember that we do bring something to the table. Wherever you're visiting, maybe with family, friends, could be alone, I don't know, but you still bring something to the table. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:16, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. The word trouble there means confusion and turmoil and panic, or to live a life filled with anguish. So no matter how much you have, no matter how little you have, be thankful. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us in Corinthians, Paul writes, he says, listen, all things are yours. You are co-heirs with Christ. Amen? You live upon a planet that's going to pass away, but you're not going to pass away. You have a new city that's going to come down from heaven that we're going to be inhabiting. Oh, Lord, listen, no sun, no moon. The Lamb is its lights. Amen? We should be the most thankful people on earth because it's not what you have, but it's who you have. Amen. The Bible goes on to say in Proverbs 15:17, I love this one. This is one you probably are sharing for Thanksgiving. This is probably in your prayers. It says, better is a dinner of herbs. That means just vegetables, no turkey, okay? Where love is. Don't you like that? Better is a vegetable plate than better than anything. But he said, where love is, than a fatted calf, meaning a luxurious meal, with hatred. In other words, the way I would put it, it is better to have a slender, sissy meal. Literally, do you know what that means when it says a dinner of herbs? It means not a bunch of vegetables, you know, like a vegetable dinner. It means one little slimy vegetable. Like I told the first service, I said, you know, I said, have you ever eaten boiled okra? How do you keep it in your mouth? I mean, who would eat boiled okra? I don't even want to know. I'll have nightmares. Now, listen carefully. That sissy meal that we just mentioned, but it says there, oh, but if love is there, if the love of God is in that house, if the love of God is sitting at that table, amen? If love is there, there's nothing greater than that. And some of you may be saying, well, Bill, that's exactly what I want. I want that table. I want it filled with the love of God, and I want the peace of God there and all those wonderful things. But you know what, Bill? The truth is, the house or the place I'm going this week, it's going to be the fatted calf with hatred. You know what I mean? It's going to be a great meal. But you know what? We're going to Uncle So-and-so's and Aunt So-and-so's. You know how it's going to be. Oh, it's a house full of strife. It's a house full of anger. It's a house full of cussing. We're going to watch the Dallas Cowboys play or whoever plays on Thanksgiving. Do they play on Thanksgiving? No, listen to me. I'm feeling a lot better than the first service. I took 15 Sudafed. So I know that I can at least have enough energy to get through the next whatever minutes I'm going to be up here. You know, it says this in the Word of God in Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel. In Hebrew, that means a stale scrap of bread or food. Better is a dry morsel with quietness. No arguing, no strife, no fighting, than a house full of feasting. A house every kind of imaginable food, and yet all full of relatives, yet with strife, meaning fighting in the family. You know, we talk on the way, okay, kids, don't say this, don't do that. Don't say one thing about Uncle Joe. Don't, when he talks out, and if he has too much to drink, just ignore him. You know how he is. I know y'all have no families like that. No. You know, listen to me. Wherever you celebrate Thanksgiving, you need to know what you bring to the table. And I think that's where Christians, even today, they mess up. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus and what you bring to the table, whether it's you're celebrating Thanksgiving or what. Because listen, if you want a place filled with love, you just walked in. Did you hear me? You just walked in because love is there, because love is living in your heart. Amen? Yeah, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:5, David writes, King David, he says, oh, listen, you prepare a table. And he has already prepared your table if you're traveling, being with relatives that maybe they don't know the Lord, maybe they're a bit contentious. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In the Hebrew, that would be like animals in hot pursuit of someone to devour. Goodness and mercy right behind each believer. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. Listen, God knows this. You know, remember what we've been learning about love? That, you know, you can have, like we covered last Sunday, what the gift of prophecy. I mean, you know, you can call down a word from heaven and give to somebody else. Though you have the gift of prophecy, though you know all mysteries, though you have all knowledge, you know all the secrets of the universe, though you have all faith that you can say unto that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and though you give your body to be burned, in other words, you become a martyr, or you take every penny that you have in your life, everything you have, you sell everything and you give it to feed the poor. The Bible says this, and the Bible cannot lie because God cannot lie. He says, but if you have not love, meaning God's love, the agape of God, you are absolutely nothing. That is a remarkable individual that would have all of those incredible qualities. But God says, you know what? If he doesn't have or she doesn't have my love in them, no matter what they do, it's absolutely nothing. You know, listen. Without the love of God in your heart, believer, listen, it's just absolutely nothing. But you know what? This Thanksgiving, this day, if you're a believer, you do have living in you right this minute the very love of God. Amen? It's in you right now. Remember how we ended 1 Corinthians last Sunday, chapter 13, verse 31, where Paul writes, and he says, now abideth faith and hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is that? Why is love greater than anything? Greater than hope? Greater than faith? The Bible says that you cannot please God without faith. God says, oh no. Paul says, listen, it's love. You see, love never fails. I'm talking about God's love, not our love. The love that he put in us, amen? Listen, that love is eternal. That love is deathless. Everything in this world, everything in the universe may pass away, but the love of God will never pass away. God is love, amen? And he has put that love in you. Now, if you're in Romans chapter 5, you're going to notice that there's an identical sequence that we just read, or I just read to you, from Corinthians about faith, hope, and love. In Romans 5:1, look at it with me. He says, therefore, having been, that's past tense, loved one, justified by what? There's the first one right there. Look what we have. Since we are justified, you know that word justified. You know what it means? Just as if you had never sinned because you've placed your trust, your faith in Christ Jesus the Lord, now you have his spotless, sinless record put to your account in the eyes of God. So it says, justified by faith, we have, watch this, peace with God, and here's how, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:14 that he himself, meaning Jesus, is our peace. It says in Galatians 1:20 that God made peace through the blood of the cross. He's reconciled us. All of our sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So we have that peace with God. But listen carefully. Justification and peace, and I know you know them very well. Sometimes we don't feel justified because most of us don't even know what that word means. Not at this church, though. Church across the street, maybe. No, I'm joking. No, to be justified, that beautiful word, or to have peace with God. The moment that you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, like you've heard me teach so many times over the last many, many years, it doesn't mean that Jesus be the Lord of my life, and instantly you said, wow, I feel justified. You didn't even know what that meant. And you didn't say, well, I have peace with God. No, you didn't say that. And you know why you didn't say that? Because justification and peace, they're not a feeling, they are a fact. Are you following me? They're not so much, you know, an experience. Now, becoming born again is, but the justification, those two words, and peace with God, it's not so much an experience as it becomes a divine revelation as you grow in Christ. Listen, that's Thanksgiving. God's not mad at me. God loves me. Oh, but Bill, I messed up. Well, God still loves you. He doesn't like it that you messed up. He hates it that you messed up because Jesus died because of what you just did. Are you listening to me? Grace doesn't condone sin. Thank God we're forgiven if we sin. But when we look at all this and say, Lord, now that's Thanksgiving. That's really a true feast to know those things on Thanksgiving. to celebrate that. You bring so much to the table. Just think, if you sat down at the table, loved one, and everybody at this table on Thanksgiving, maybe they're all unbelievers. I'm not saying they are, but let's just use that as an example. You're the only person at that table that has peace with God. Do you understand me? You're the only person at that table that God has given, rendered a judicial decision in heaven and said, you, when you were a sinner, you believed in my Son who died for you. I now declare you not guilty, and you'll never be declared guilty again because Jesus paid for your guilt and your sin. Think about it. What do you bring to the table? You walk in there and you sit down. You're the only justified man or woman, the only people on that table that have absolute peace with Almighty God. Do you know how special you are? Do you know how chosen you are? Do you know how thankful that each of us need to be in our hearts and our minds? Amen. Not only that, look at verse 2 with me. I told the first service, if I find out who gave me this, that I was going to bless them. I'm so sorry. I just hope you bear with me. Amen? All right, let's go to verse 2 now. Now it says, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom, meaning Jesus, also we have, that's present tense, that means it's a fact, we have, watch this, access by faith. That means continual, ongoing access forever and ever and ever into what? Into this unmerited, undeserved, divine favor from God in which we stand. That means we stand in that 24/7. We never walk out of it. Loved one, don't ever walk away from that which has saved you. We are saved by grace. Amen? Not only that, watch this. And we rejoice in what? There's that second word. Now remains faith, hope, and love. Here's hope. And it says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, why would we rejoice in hope, which is the glory of God? Well, the reason we can rejoice right now is because we are being changed, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says we are being changed or transformed into the very image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, okay? From glory to glory to glory to glory. And the agent who does so is the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us, who lives in our hearts. Amen? Now, with all that being said, that's what's happening right now. You know, wouldn't it be incredible? Like you said, you know, we're talking about what you bring to the table. Here you are, you're in there, and you've got all the people. You've got the uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, and whoever's there. This half is saved. These are not saved. This over here is Mormons or something. And and all of a sudden, that glory from glory to glory. You see, you're in transition. What if you just exploded at the dinner table? Whoa. And they go, what happened to you? He said, I just left this glory and moved to another glory. Well, you don't know what you're going to bring to the table. You don't know what you're going to say. You don't know how God's going to use you if you at least don't have your mouth stuffed with turkey all the time. Do you understand? Listen, things happen at the dinner table. I know today most people don't go to the dinner table. They get their trays and they go and watch the Cowboy game, okay? I guess they do. I don't know. I'm not going to be watching it, so I don't know. However, if that is the case, you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know how God's going to use you because you bring everything that God is to the table. Are you listening to me? That is so vital that you get that into your heart. And not only that, we glory in God. We hope in the glory of God because of what's coming in the future. The Bible says in Colossians 3:4, it tells us that when Christ as our life appears, then we will also appear with him in glory. That's our destiny. That's your future. I don't know how we can ever be a thankless bunch whenever we know that heaven is going to be our home. You know, the moment, loved one, that we close our eyes I mean, and it's over. We're home. We're home forever. Our race is finished, man. It's done. We've kept the faith. Amen? That's what it's all about. Now, also it says in Romans 5:3, and not only that, and I don't know how it's going to get much better, but watch this one. But we also glory in tribulations. Now, I know the church has removed that from the Bible, but it's in there. We also glory in tribulations. Why? Well, we know that tribulation does something. It produces perseverance, and that word means endurance. Now, remember what love does? Love is a verb, okay? We looked at the 14 characteristics of love last Sunday, all of them were verbs. So when it uses this word right here, perseverance, that word means endurance. Remember what it says in chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians? Love endures all things. Love is strong. Love never quits. Love keeps you standing. Love keeps on keeping on in your heart and in your mind. That's what love does. That's what's living in you right this minute, that kind of love. And perseverance, character, and here comes that word, hope. Now, you know, we're all going to go through tribulation. It's okay. All of us. But the tribulation that's being spoken about here is not, well, I'm just having a bad day. People at work are making fun of me because I'm a Christian. No, that's when you're out doing the work of the Lord. That's when you're doing what He wants you to do in this life. And then if you're being persecuted or going through tribulation for it, it's okay. We're going to be, like it says in Timothy, it says, you know, whoever all desire to live godly will suffer tribulation in this life, you know? It's okay. Why? Because tribulation that comes to the believer doesn't come to make you fail. It makes you strong. Love is strong. See, tribulation makes you a winner. It keeps you standing. It makes a veteran out of you. It makes a soldier out of you. You know, if you have a bunch of hard knocks in your life, it's okay. It's all right. I did a wedding last night, and it was a long wedding. It was a pastor, too. And I said, Pastor, I said, you're going to sing how many songs to this woman? I said, please, I am sick. My nose is running. I'm coughing. I said, my stomach hurts. I haven't slept. I've been in bed all week. I got out of bed to go see you because I love you. And I said, how many songs? Bill, I'm going to sing two. I said, how long are they? 4 minutes each. I said, we're going to do, it doesn't matter. And then he was 30 minutes late. Oh, yeah. But I did a great wedding. I harmonized with him. Now, tribulation doesn't come. I'm getting slower as I go along, I can tell. So if I pass out up here, just don't wake me, okay? Tribulation doesn't come, loved one, to make you fail. It makes you strong. You're not a weak people. You're the church. You're the church of the living God. The gates of hell will never prevail against you. Amen? So don't ever worry about being weak, because Jesus said, or Paul said, when you are weak, know that's when you're strong. So you don't worry about it. Now look here. I love this verse. Now hope, there it is. We've had faith. Love, faith, hope, and now this love. Watch this. Now, hope doesn't make us ashamed, doesn't disappoint us. Why? It says, because the love of God. Now, that's the first mention of agape, the love I'm talking about this morning, which is the love of God, not human love, but the love that He's put in our hearts. First mention in Romans, because the love of God, look what God did with it, has been what? That word means lavishly poured out, overflowing. It's perfect tense, meaning it never stops flowing in you, okay? So it says, has been poured out, look where, into our hearts, into our inner woman, our inner man, if you will. And look how it happened. By the Holy Spirit, who was what? Given to us. That's the first mention of Romans of the ministry in the Holy Spirit in this book, in the book of Romans. And look what it has to do with. It has to do with the agape of God. It has to do with the love. Now listen, did you see that in verses 1 and 2? There was faith. Then the hope, verses 2, 4, and then in verse 5, love. Now listen, this love that you have, that you bring to the table, that you brought with you to church, that you're going to take home with you, okay, listen to me. It wasn't rationed out to you. Do you understand? Okay, I'm going to give him a little bit of God's love. No, it was poured out. I mean, it's immeasurable. It's living in you right this minute. So the same Holy Spirit, as we've learned, who is the distributor of all the gifts of the Spirit, who does so to whom he wills and as he wills and manifests them whenever he wants, not us, him, is the same Holy Spirit here who has poured out God's love into our hearts. And not only that, listen, he has given unto us the Holy Spirit. He is in you. He is with us. He is here right this minute. Amen? When you sit down at that table, no matter if you're eating alone at Luby's, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing now and forever, or especially Thanksgiving, the love of God is right there with you. The Holy Spirit is right there with you. The Bible tells us it's been given to us, 2 Corinthians 1:22, who also sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit as our hearts, as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is the divine helper of the church. He's called the paraclete, the comforter, the strengthener, the standby. He's our advocate. Oh, loved one, listen, he has sealed us unto the day of redemption, which means forever, forever. Sealed our hearts. The word seal means ownership. God says, I've put my seal upon you. I know that you're mine. I know that you belong to me and no one else. I don't know about you. That's Thanksgiving. I belong to God. Amen? No, I belong to the living God, the only true God. There are not any other gods. You belong to him. If that doesn't make you thankful, you need to repent right now. Amen? Okay, let me continue. Every believer has God's love in their hearts. Amen? Okay, you got to help me now. You're going to have pity. This is Thanksgiving. No, you know, when you sit down for the table this Thanksgiving, it could be with a whole bunch of people. Maybe it's not. It could be just a few people. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can sit there and say, okay, Bill, it's kind of a slender season. I'm just going to have vegetables. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Maybe you're going to have a big fat ham. I don't know. Maybe you're going to have a turkey dressing, giblet gravy. Sweet potatoes. Corn on the cob, where you really cut it off. You have to do it like that. Pumpkin whipped cream on top. That's what it's going to be like. But I want you to know this, whatever they set on the table, that's one thing. But what you bring to the table is what matters. And you bring to the table the living agape of God, because it's been poured out in your hearts. Loved one, listen to me. Just look, when you sit down at that table, the love of God in you sits down at that table. Does that make sense? See, you're the body of Christ. Oh man, I think about this and I get excited, because see, when you sit down at that table, the things that you bring to the table, more than God's love. Jesus has given us his peace. Jesus has given his joy to us. He's given us the gifts. All of those things sit down at the table with us. And listen to me now. God did not give them to you so you can hide them. Okay, now, honey, we're going to go to Uncle Joe's. He hates God. He hates Jesus. He hates us. But we're family. Don't say anything about Jesus. Okay. All right, don't. But here's what you can do. All of it that God has given you, the gifts of the Spirit, the love of God, the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ, are they living in you right now? Okay, then all that you have to do is let them be manifested out of your mortal bodies. Well, Bill, that can't happen. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:10, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Listen, do you realize all that God has placed in you? You should appropriate that by faith all the time. The Bible says in Philemon, is there only one chapter, so it'd be Philemon 6, that for us to acknowledge every good thing, or that your faith may become effective, by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ Jesus means to have all that he is. Do you understand? We're not our own anymore. We're his body. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time, and I know this has happened to every believer, when was the last time, it could be at your workplace or maybe at college or, you know, I don't know, whatever you do, at school, but someone walked up to you and they said, you know, you've been here a long time or whatever, or I've just been noticing you, I've been watching you, you're different. You're just different. Everything that you do is not, it's just not like everybody else does. Now, what does that mean? Well, number one, it means they're watching you, right? We're supposed to be manifesting what God has put in us. Is that okay? To the world, to the lost, to unbelievers. Listen, what made them say that and why did they say that and why were they drawn to you? You know what's happened if you're a believer, amen? And you know, they come up and your coworkers, they see you and they go, man, you know, I've been watching the way you handle issues or the way you answer these phones with these irate customers. And you are the people that bring all this junk back and you have to put up with them and they're cursing you and all the rest of it. What is it? And they say, why are you so kind? And you go, you don't have to answer them, but you know what the truth is? Love is kind. Love is kind. Remember chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians? Love, it's a verb. It means, a kind is a verb. Love is kind, meaning you do kind things to other people, whether they deserve it or not. Why? Love is just kind. It lives in my heart. It lives in your heart. Yeah, but they were mean. Okay, slap them. No. No, you don't do that. What do? You love them. Why? Love is kind. It's living in you. Uncle Joe's sitting there and he takes the Lord's name in vain. Does it hurt you? Of course it does. He's lost. He's an unbeliever. He can't help it. He can't. You know why? He doesn't have the supernatural power of God. He can only live like a natural man, a lost person. He doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit living in his life. You sit there and he can look right in your eyes and he sees you. It's not that squint of hate. Shouldn't be. It should be the look of love. The same look that Jesus gave unto Peter when they had beaten him all night long and he walked along the road there in the garrison, Pilate's place, and he was beaten and bound, and Peter had denied him 3 times, and the last time he denied him when the rooster cried, Peter looked, and it says Jesus looked at Peter. Do you think when Jesus looked at Peter, he went, oh, you disgust me. No, Peter went out, and what did he do? He wept. Why? Because when he saw love in the eyes of the Lord, it killed him. You can sit there in the workplace, wherever you are. You bring so much to the table. And through your eyes, through your expression, through your gestures, they look at you. And when they say the name of the Lord in vain or whatever filthy joke, and you just look at them, not in disgust, but you look at them as one who is drawn toward death. One who's going to have eternal punishment, one who'll be separated from God forever, and they see your eyes and they see the love of God. Are you listening to me? You see, that's what you bring to the table wherever you are. They look at you and they say, what in the world? You're never rude to anybody. Why aren't you rude to these people? Look at what they're so stinking rude to you. But you say, well, you see, love isn't rude. Love has manners. Well, why? Well, it lives in me. It dwells in me. It's not my love, but I can't help it. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm living for the Lord. When I see the hurting, I see what God sees. When they're hurting, I want to see them well. Are you listening? See, that's what it's all about. And they say, you know what? I don't understand you. You know, these people, why don't they provoke you? Well, love isn't easily provoked, the Bible says. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That's what love does. Not my love, but the love that God shed abroad in my heart and your heart. Oh, you bring so much to the workplace, to the school place, to the home place. You bring so much to the public. You bring so much to the table. That's what it's all about. Why did they say that to you? You know why? Because agape is a magnet. Do you understand that? God's love in you. It draws people to you. They don't understand it because, see, you have in you the most powerful, unbelievable, eternal possession in the universe. You have the very own love of God, a love that never, ever fails. Do you know why agape, the love that is in you, is such a magnet? The reason is because it's not natural love. It's supernatural love that only comes down from the Father of lights, that only comes to those who are born from above. Loved one, man, listen, that's what you have living in you right now. Did you know for a person to call themselves a believer and not have agape or not walk in love is a contradiction? That means that they would be walking like an unbeliever. And we're not unbelievers. Why is it so vital this Thanksgiving and every day of our life? Why is it so vital for the believers to manifest God's love to everyone? Because only a believer can. No one else can do it. You have to be born again to have God's love. And we've been called and commanded by our Savior Jesus Christ to manifest the agape of God to absolutely every person. You remember what Jesus did in the upper room hours before his death? He gave a new commandment, which is part of the vision statement of this church. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment," talking to his disciples and us, "a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." That's not the new part. They knew to love one another. Leviticus 19, 18 of the law commanded it. Jesus said, here it is. Here's the new part. Here's the new commandment. I want you to love one another just as I've loved you. I want you to love one another to the same degree that I've loved you. That's what I want. I want that love manifested to every person, every individual. Why? Because God, Jesus commanded that. That's not an option. That's a command to the believer. Why? Because Jesus knows that love can be seen. Do you understand? Because love is a verb. It's not, I love you. No, it's love does something. Are you listening to me? See, love reaches out. That's what love is. That's why love is so powerful. And then Jesus said that this love can be seen. That's why he said, by this. He said, everyone, all, the whole world, every person in your workplace or college or Thanksgiving, whatever you bring to the table, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another as I've loved you. There it is, loved one. That's what you bring to the table. That doesn't mean just loving one another. It means loving everyone. Amen? That's the great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all the strength, all our mind. And the second is like unto it. Matter of fact, all the prophets and the law hang upon it, that you will love your neighbor as your own self. You'll crawl out of your own skin and crawl into his skin and say, I love you. See, that's what you bring to the table on Thanksgiving. This kind of love right here, Jesus said, by this all will know. If you just have the agape of God manifested in your life. You remember Tertullian, who was one of the early fathers. He wrote about the Roman government. They were so fearful of the Christians way back then that the Roman government, they actually sent spies into the services in the homes to find out what was going on. And they wrote down, they said this, when they sent spies, they said, they wrote back to the Roman government, said, listen, see how these Christians, they love one another. These Christians are the strangest people. They meet together in an empty room to worship. They don't have an image. They speak of one by the name of Jesus, who is not here. He is absent, but whom they seem to be expecting to come at any time. And my, oh, how they love Jesus and how they love one another. What kind, let's say we have some spies sneak in from Keller or even Argyle. What is that name, Argyle? What does that mean? I'm joking if you're from Argyle. It's all right. I mean, they sneak in here and say, well, we've heard the stuff about this church because love never fails. That's their foundational scripture. I'm going to see if they really love one another. And so they come in here and they're checking us out. Going to go back and give a report. What kind of report would they give us? Jesus said, it's by this they'll know. Not because you go to church. Not because you sing. Not because you clap your hands. Not because you belong to a church membership. Not because you have all of your doctrines right and you believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ, the inerrancy of Scripture, the second coming, the personal, bodily, visible return of our Lord. Not because you believe there's no other name that under heaven that a man can be saved. No, that's not it. Jesus said, by this one thing, when they see the agape of God, the love that has been poured out into your heart, when they see that manifested to one another, and when they see it manifested to others who are not lovable, loved one, listen to me. They're going to say, man, they belong to this person called Jesus Christ. Listen, why did Jesus give that command and say, all will know? All will know if you belong to me or not. If you're really on fire for me, if you really love me. You know why Jesus did that? Because when he did, he gave the right to every person on earth, your relatives, those who sit at the table with you on Thanksgiving, those in your workplace, those who are in your school or your college or your neighbors or whatever, when you go grocery shop, whatever it might be, he gave them the right to judge you. By this all will know, or by this they won't know. That's the key. Listen, you see, love that has been poured out in your heart is a magnet. It must be seen. It has to be seen. When you really are in love, do you demonstrate that love? Yes. You know, it's no different than, you remember when you first had a girlfriend or boyfriend and you would talk all night on the telephone before the cell phone, before texting, before Instagram? No, love must be seen, okay? Listen, the new birth, when a person is born again, the Holy Spirit seals our hearts. Does the Holy Spirit produce loveless believers? No, it can't. The fruit of the Spirit is love. He lives in us. Matter of fact, John the Apostle said this in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In other words, if you don't practice a lifestyle of love, you just said that you don't know God at all. He doesn't live in you. See, agape is supernatural, and it must be seen by everyone. Are you in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14? We're nearly through. Hold on. Just be patient. We're nearly done. It's not even noon yet. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Look what Paul writes. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that means arguing, that you may become blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a what? That word means diseased. In a diseased and perverse, that means twisted in nature, a diseased and twisted in nature generation. That means people, a twisted age. And the reason, among whom you, believer, shine as what? You shine as lights. That word means stars. You shine like the stars of heaven in the world, meaning the people of the world. They see that. They see you holding fast to the word of life. The word of life means the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that we share with people. Oh, listen, did you hear that? You shine as the stars of the heaven to this world. What makes you shine? It's all that God has placed in you. When you let it out, it is manifested. Amen? Yes, that's why you love your enemies. And that you don't love them with the emotion of love. That's not what that means. No, it means you love them like God would love them, regardless of what they've done. Why? Because God is love. God is love. Oh, listen, You bring so much to the table. You're God's magnet. People are watching you every day of your life. You know, it's like that movie. I don't know if you like Davy Crockett, but I like Davy Crockett. And Davy Crockett in that last movie they made, I think it's Billy Bob Thornton's in it. And they were sitting there, Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie, they were talking. I love the Alamo stuff. I have two coonskin caps in my office right now. I sure do. And Davy said to Jim, he said, I've been on that wall all the days of my life. I've never forgotten that statement. You know why? Because when you become a Christian, you're on that wall every day of your life. People are looking at you. People are saying, you're a believer, I'm expecting something out of you. If Jesus is really your Lord, the world, they look at you and say, well, aren't you supposed to be this or that instead of a hypocrite? You're on that wall. You're on the wall every day of your life. That's exactly right. And you are being watched. And you know what Jesus wants? He says, listen, don't you realize here we are? We're a generation. This generation passes away. A generation cometh. A generation goeth, the Bible says. We are the only people on this planet in our generation that can manifest Jesus to the lost, to the hurting, to our relatives. That's what we bring to the table, loved one. That's who we are. Man, listen, why don't you say, you know what? I'm going to have a supernatural Thanksgiving. If all of your family is saved and it's going to be a wonderful, praise God. Good for you. You should really give thanks to God. But if you're walking into a half and half, you know what I'm talking about. Why don't you say, Lord, you know what? Here's what I want to bring to the table. I want to bring to the table a supernatural Thanksgiving. That's what I want. I want to manifest your love. I want to manifest your joy. I want to manifest your peace. I want you to use me to bring glory to God the Father. Listen, that's what it means. We're meant to be seen. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:14, he said, you are the light of the world. You're a city that sitteth upon a hill that cannot be hid. Listen, the light is to be seen. A city that sits way up on a hill is to be looked at. Amen? See, we're people look at us. Jesus said, listen, you don't light a lamp and you put it under a basket, but you put it on a lampstand. Why? It gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine among men. Let it shine. It says, that they may see. There it is. You're manifesting the love of God, that they may see your good works, and love is good and doeth good. That they may see your good works, they see it, and that they glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. That's what it's all about. Listen, you bring so much to the table. It is unbelievable. Listen, just when you sit down, the light of the world just sat down. Can you think about that? You ever just put that into your heart this Thanksgiving? The light of the world just sat down. Not only that, goodness and mercy from the Psalms I just quoted earlier. Does it follow you all the days of your life? All right, well, here we are. We showed up. The Bible says the angels of God encamp around the righteous. Did you bring some angels with you? Yes. Do you see what I'm saying? When you walk into the room, there's someone special that just walked into the room. A new creation just sat down. Not someone lost, the temple of God just sat down. The naos, that word means the naos, the holy of holies of God. You've just sat down. A citizen of heaven just sat down at that table. Do you understand that? When you sit down on that day with whoever, alone or with many, a citizen from heaven just sat down. A person who has passed out of death. Translated out of darkness, translated into life. Amen? Just sat down. I think about that and I say, oh God, when I sat down and you sat down at that table, you know who just sat down? The one who has overcome the world. Who is he who has overcome the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? One who has overcome the wicked one, the devil, because you are in Christ Jesus the Lord. One that the Bible says that you are more than conquerors. Just sat down. Loved one, listen. It means that when you sat down at that table, what did you bring? Who did you bring with you? His name is Jesus, the one who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Do you know who you really are? Listen, you have everything you need this for every day of your life. The body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ grows in proportion to its love for one another. It's agape that God has placed in us. The gifts of the Spirit, they're only activated by love. Faith worketh by love. The law is fulfilled in one word, just one word, love. Love one another. Listen to me. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. That's what it's all about. Someone told me as I read the other day, and I'm closing, just give me 5 minutes and I'm out of here too, quickly. Someone said, one of the greatest sins I could ever engage in is doing something that would give my non-believing person fuel for their choice not to believe in Jesus Christ, the only hope for mankind. We're lights. We're not darkness. We walk in the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. We have supernatural love living in our hearts. Amen? You know, the Bible says, but no wonder Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:5, he says, thank God for this indescribable gift. Indescribable, meaning Jesus Christ. Indescribable. I can't put enough words down, he says. Man, if we can't give thanks for Jesus, not only was it an indescribable gift, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. It's an indescribable, horrible sacrifice. Romans 5:8, for God proved, he demonstrated his own love, that while we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. That's us. How, it says in Romans 8:32, it says, how with him, God who delivered him up for us, how will we not with Jesus, with him freely, give us all things. Listen, we're to be giving, it says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist cries out, oh, that men would give thanks unto God. Oh, that we would cry and say, Lord, I love you. Listen to me. You're going to sit down someplace on Thursday. You're going to have Thanksgiving. You bring more to the table than any person in the whole world. Do you hear me? If you're a believer. You know, never forget when you sit down that he calls you, that he calls you by name. Not only does he call you by name, but you know, we have a God that loves you so much, he collects every tear you've ever cried. He puts them in a bottle. Not only that, every hair that's fallen from your hair, he knows where they are just as much as any sparrow that's fallen to the ground. He knows all of that. The Bible says that he has literally engraved you in the palm of his hands. And more than that, he's called you my son or my daughter. You're the children of God, that he loves you and he has given us something. One of the greatest gifts, and that is he's given unto us eternal life. That's what everybody wants, is life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one cometh to the Father except by me. Do you have life this morning? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Have you asked him to come into your heart? If you haven't, you don't have that kind of love in your heart. You just have natural love. You just have physical life. You're just going through the activities of life. You don't possess spiritual life at all. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And God says, oh man, I love you. You could come to me and I'll tell you what, I'll fill you up. If you'll open your mouth wide, as the psalmist has said, I will fill your mouth and I will satisfy you with good things. If you come to him, he'll pour out into your heart the love of God. Overflowing. You'll become new, brand new. Old things are passed away. That's what the Bible says. Jesus cried out in John 5:40, he says, oh, but you know what? You're not willing to come to me that you might have life. If you don't know Christ, I pray in Jesus' name this morning that you would come to him. That you would, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm talking about a living relationship. Amen. That you would ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And you know what, Christian? Listen, when we leave here today, I pray you never forget what you're going to bring to the table, not only just every day of your life, but on Thanksgiving. Why don't you be expectant? Why don't you believe in something supernatural that's going to happen? God is a supernatural God. Amen. Why don't you, maybe he'll give you the perfect word and you won't even know why you're saying it to Aunt Jo or Brother Bob or whatever it might be. That perfect word that you think it's nothing. And yet it's a supernatural word just for them. And they look at you and they say, why would you say that? How did you know that? You never know what God is going to do, but if you're expectant, oh, what a Thanksgiving, what a life you will have. From my home to yours, I bid you a Christ-centered Thanksgiving. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this day. I thank you for the sheep of your pasture that are present. And Lord, I just, you know, as our heads are bowed and no one looking around, I just tell you, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you can do so right now. You don't have to come to this altar. But you know what you have to do? You just have to lift your hand and say, Bill, I want to be a Christian. I want my sins forgiven. I want to have peace with God. I want his love poured out in me because I don't love anybody. I want to live. I want life. You just have to lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me and put it right back down. You don't have to come down here at all. But if that's you, right now in Jesus' name, lift your hand high. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else, lift it high, put it right back down. Quickly now, that I may see. Oh, if he's tugging on your heart, I beg you not to resist him. You may never hear the good news again. Last call. God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else said, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life right now. Lift it high. I'm getting ready to pray. Last call. Lift it high, put it right back down. God bless you, sir. That last one that's fighting, please stop fighting and just lift your hand high. In Jesus' name, I'm about to pray. If that's you, just lift it high, put it right back down. God bless you, that's right. Those that lifted your hands, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me out. Say, Father, today I found out you love me. Jesus died for me. He wants to save me. I want to be saved. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Save me now, for I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. There is no one like you, Lord. There's just no one like you. I'm so thankful for those that just came into your kingdom, that escaped the darkness, whose sins are now forever gone, that you've sealed their heart, empowered them with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, what they're going to bring to the table this Thanksgiving and today and forever. We give you praise. Keep your people safe. If they travel on the airways or the highways, safety there, safety back. And Lord, use them. Manifest your love through them. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Is God.